Hello,
Hello.
and welcome to another episode of From the
From the Lower Level.
I'm your host, Moshi.
And I'm Patrizio. And Moshi, this week, we're doing Snatch Game. Oh, no, it's the wrong podcast.
Definitely not the right tagline for this podcast. But then that leads me to ask, if you were doing Snatch Game, who would your Snatch Game character be?
It would have to be the Countess.
Luann.
Yes, I would do it in blackface. Luann as Diana Ross.
Okay, so this podcast has just ended. We're done. That was it. You've literally crossed a line that I thought could never be crossed. Wow. Well, at least now everybody knows who you are. Now that we have faces on our logo as well, just you really like woke up and chose violence today. Like the level of unhinged, I can't even. Oh, no, not the snorting. Not laughing so hard that you can't breathe, that you're snorting at your own racism. Wow. I'm going to do it in blackface, he says to his black friend.
I just meant heavy bronzer.
The quote was, I'm going to do Luann in blackface, like the Countess in blackface. Like, you can't walk that back. And it's just like how excited you were to be doing blackface. Wow.
The excitement to do blackface.
That's how I read it. With the second podcast for the year 2023, and we've already reached the low. Like, can we go any lower?
I just feel like the world at the moment is going through a cultural reset, okay? People, and by people I mean celebrities, are choosing violets right now, and so I'm just adding my name to the list.
So now you're also saying that you're a celebrity. I mean, there's a lot going on right now. You might need psychotherapy. I think there's a lot. Anyway, on that note,
what would you do for Snatch Game watching?
Jesus Christ. Gosh, who's interesting? I think you have to do Teresa. Like, I think you have to do someone who is such a caricature that they're so identifiable, or like, you know, a nini, because you could go like really, really big with it. Do you get what I mean? Like, it has to be somebody who everybody knows, who has like really specific mannerisms and just does dumb stuff all the time.
I think the issue is, though, that, like, unfortunately, I think Teresa is a little too iconic. Nini is, like, too hilarious. Like, because you got to be a drag version of Nini. Nini is already a drag queen in her own right. You know what I mean? I think, like, you're going to get eliminated if you do Nini. Like, we've seen it happen before. You know what I mean?
What I'm hearing is that you're a racist, you want to do blackface, you're also a celebrity, and now you're underestimating me and my comedic abilities. I can read a bitch.
It's in line with my earlier comments, I feel, of my attitude towards you today. So, like, just another layer.
So now you're actively telling me that your racism was towards me. Okay. Look, I don't know where we go from here, but I think it should be to the word on the street before this whole thing falls apart.
Marshy, welcome to the home of H&R.
Really, this home of H&R. My God.
It's been, like I said, like this week has been a cultural reset in pop culture, but I feel like in terms of Housewives, there's really not been a lot going on. Like, we've gone from a very busy, like heavy week of news to like kind of like a lot about nothing this week. I think the only interesting things that have happened this week is the start of the Ultimate Girls Trip season 4 feud between Brandy and Alex McCord. Alex McCord is doing this, like, I haven't been on TV in 10 years. Everyone give me, like, the gossip on these girls that I'm going on this trip with. And, like, each day, it's like a daily affirmation. Like, she's, like, asking the people, like, for their thoughts on each housewife. And Brandy Glanville got picked to go first. And Brandy was like, someone get this lady the YouTube. Like, it's interesting.
I love it because it is so, like, if people were wondering, what would Alex McCord be like in the 21st century, like in 2023? Exactly the same. This is her. This is the person who, like, would go up to people and try and read them and it would just not work. Like, she is awkward. She is weird. She is nerdy. And these are all the things that we love about her.
But I think it also is just, like, indicative of the fact that, like, she has not been on TV in, like, over 10 years as well. Like, and the game has changed. Like, that's the other thing. I think, I don't know if she's ready.
Okay, so I don't, like, fully believe that, like, she's doing this out of naivety. I think she's doing this to, this is how she does shade, right? She's like, you know, everything out in the open. She's been watching these shows. She's still on Instagram. Like, she knows everything that has been happening. She knows exactly who Brandy Glanville is. And as Brandy said, she could just watch YouTube. This is her way of just, like, engaging with, like, the fans to try and win some fans over so that when she's actually on, people are ready for her. And I think whoever has told her to do this, I don't think she came up with it herself. I think it's very smart because, like, when she comes on there, people aren't, like, the fact that she's, like, being spoken about already, she needs that energy. So I like it. It's very on brand.
Okay. In the other word on the street this week, Kyle Richards has said to, I don't know, it was like TMZ or something, that, like, she thinks that Chrissy Teigen should be the new housewife on Beverly Hills. But is this the only name that she knew?
Potentially.
Like, she panicked.
No, I think she's thought about this for a while. I suspect she's pitched it to Andy, but it wouldn't work because Chrissy Teigen is, like, too much of a fan. Like, it just wouldn't work.
Yeah, it's giving Heather Gay.
I think she'd almost be worse than Heather Gay. I think, like, Chrissy would be one of those people because she's so, like, kind of real and unfiltered. I think she'd be one of those people where shit would be happening and she'd forget that she's a cast member and she'd just be watching and be like, so this really happens on this show. Do you know what I mean? Like, the fourth wall would be broken.
Speaking of Heather Gay, though, did you see that photo of the potential new housewife on Salt Lake City that has, like, got black hair and she looks exactly like Heather? And then someone, like, memed it and said, this is Heather straight. And then, like, you know what the worst part was, Moshi? It took me 48 business hours to figure out that, like, it's because it's Heather Gay and that this woman with the black hair is Heather Straight.
But then you just explained that on the podcast. Everybody listening got it. But it's
I know. Well, I told you. It took me 48 business hours.
Speaking of Heather Gay, did you see that she has bought a new house?
Yeah, like $6 million. It's giving Maryam Cosby's mansion.
Yeah, but I think that those, like, that style of houses, that's, like, what you get. Because it's a similar build to, like, the types of houses, like, you see in Atlanta. Like, Portia lives in that style, that design as well. It's not modern. But then,
yeah, well, I don't know. Meredith Marks's rental looked quite modern.
Yeah, but I think when you buy classic.
Interesting.
But good for her. I'm really proud of her.
Actually, final word on the street, Moshi, is that apparently Teresa Giudice is moving to California in 4 years' time.
She's got her retirement plan figured out. Good for her.
It's when Audriana is going to finally be, like, graduating from high school, and she said that she's packing up and she's moving to the West Coast with Louis.
I think so. Empty nester. And Audriana's going to be, like, a dancer or something anyway, so she'll probably be in California. Makes sense.
But, like, what does this mean for the show? That's my question, because she's there till the end.
I don't think she – I think the show ends with her, so she decides when it's the end. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. That's fair. Well, you've heard it here first. New Jersey ends in 4 years' time. They've got four more summers.
Good luck to them.
Good luck to all of us. Moshi, this week, it's a short one because Salt Lake City, the first part of Reunion, is not airing until next week. So we're just going to be breaking down Real Housewives of Potomac, Season 7, Episode 14, and Real Housewives of Miami, Season 5, Episode 9.
Wow, you didn't even let me sing.
That's just...
You really hate me today. What have I done to hurt you?
It's systemic, apparently.
Oh, my God. Not my systemic oppression affecting you. Classic. Make it all about yourself, white person. Wow. All right. Speaking of feuds, let's talk to Real Housewives of Potomac. Because I think, like, you know how we always talk about how, like, every franchise needs to have a central theme. Like, there has to be this thing that, like, if somebody asks you, what's the elevator pitch or what's the, why would I watch Potomac? And Potomac really is, I think, about the feuds and the factions and how quickly they shift. And this is why we sort of think, like, Salt Lake City has kind of died in the ass because it doesn't have a mission. A mission. That's what I was looking for. But yeah, and I think, like, this week as we head towards... We're not too far from the finale. I know Andy's about to start filming the reunion. The feuds are still bubbling to the surface. Talk to me about your favorite feud or one of the feuds that you're enjoying currently on Potomac.
I mean, it's got to be Karen versus Cha-Cha.
Why?
Because it broke the fourth wall this week. Like, we finally figured out, like, why these women are so hell-bent on hating each other. And it's more than mentioning the mothers. Like, it's, like, this whole thing around, like, who casted the original, like, group and, like, where Karen came from and... Basically, like, all this other stuff that sort of has come up from their pasts as well. And, like, we got a bit of a sense of, like, this whole, like, you know, casting information when Charisse was on Reality with the King, with Carlos King. And she really got into sort of, like, how she really was the one that sort of, like, casted the show. And it's just this thing. It's sort of, like... It's sort of, whose side are you on here? It's kind of like this, are you on Karen's side where perhaps she wasn't the grand dame, but, like, how could you not be the grand dame when you've had seven consecutive seasons and they've kept you around and now you've won the hearts of the people, the la dames? Or are you, like, team Cha-Cha because she is the OG? She's actually the original grand dame of Potomac. And... actually the power that she has, that she can, like, come back to the show and hold Karen to this level of anxiety, basically, every time she's just sitting there doing nothing.
Look, for me, it's a bit like new money versus old money. Old money is great, but if it has no personality, what's the point of it? And I think, you know, La Dame is new money and that's okay. And I think you're absolutely, like, right in describing her ascension to the throne. But I think part of the reason why Karen is also La Dame, the Grand Dame, it's like her age is part of it, right? They all used to give her so much shit about her age and she took that and went, well, with that sort of seniority comes this grand dameness. If you're going to flex, if you're going to, you know, put me down for being older, I'm going to flex on you with my age. So I kind of feel in some way that that's where La Dame came from. And had Charisse been there the whole time, maybe La Dame wouldn't exist, but everything happens for a reason. And I believe it happened for the right reasons here.
Charisse is only 2 years younger than Karen though. So is it really like a seniority thing?
I think so because Charisse wasn't there. So with Charisse not there the whole time, Karen is the most senior, most mature woman on the show. There was something else that I was thinking about when it comes to, every time I start to think about whose side I'm on in this fight, I just think about that meme that like keeps reemerging of like, the guy with the wig and it, like the guy with the wig, there's so many guys with wigs, but it's like the guy with the wig who looks like really mopey. And they're just like, every time the camera pans to Charisse, because the truth is like, she's just there with her champagne, like just like doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Karen, she can be doing nothing and she looks exceptional. She gives doing nothing but giving everything.
I think though at this stage, like Charisse is on this like active campaign to like, it's a revenge. She's out seeking revenge because like Karen has, you know, gone above and beyond and become this like, you know, beloved character that I think Charisse wanted to have been. I feel like Charisse was never 100% convinced about being on the show, but I think now that she's seen what it's become and like just like the fandom that Karen has, and I think as well like Karen clearly is on this show because like she's a narcissist. I think she loves the fans, she loves the love.
You have to be a narcissist to be a housewife.
Totally. But like, remember when she was like literally like grieving and then she went on like Instagram Live to like accept like the condolences of her fans? Like, it's just like, who does that? Like, as much as I love Karen, it is just like quintessential narcissistic behavior. And like, so I'm not mad at Charisse for kind of like coming for Karen, given that the fame has gone to her head. But yeah, I just think there's an active campaign. And I think Giselle is a part of this campaign, right?
So you said before that Charisse is coming for revenge. I don't think Charisse is coming for revenge at all. I think the green-eyed bandits are coming for some sort of revenge because like you said, the thing about this show is, and I've been thinking about this a lot, even like when I don't like Candace, there's so many people out there that like Candace. This is one housewives show where I think like, the way everybody likes someone or a few people on the show, there is no one person on the show that is like hated. You know, like on most housewives, there's usually like the one person that we can all, for at least a period in time, come together and like really be against. And I think on this show, that's the thing. Like Giselle and Karen found a way to navigate it by just being like, okay, let's just be frenemies. But I think now people are like, you know what, Karen's life is way too good. I need to unsettle it. And the producers decide, the non-producers who produce, aka Giselle and her sidekick Robin, I think they are the ones with the campaign. I think, and they've said it, like Giselle said it, she wants to know. So the only way that she can know is for it to happen this way, is to confront Karen. And to me, that's just drama for the sake of drama, which is fine. But it's causing more friction because it didn't need to happen.
And I think this is like where we do see this like fault in Giselle's character, which is like she's willing to basically set fire to everything just to get what she wants. And it's like it's no longer in like the benefit of good TV. Like she's just got a vendetta and she's out to like bring down Karen no matter what. Or it doesn't really matter, Karen, Wendy, like the list goes on.
So it's like she's going to find any way to show you that she runs the show. And it's so unnecessary. But again, it speaks to the fact that Giselle has nothing else. She's got nothing. She doesn't even have a fake wedding. At least Robin has a fake wedding.
Can we talk about Robin's fake wedding for a second?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just like doing it off the back of your brother-in-law's wedding.
It's gross.
What's that about?
It is so gross. Like, if you want to get married in Jamaica, do it at another time and get married in Jamaica. But also, I think if you didn't think to get married in Jamaica first and your siblings did, you miss out. You need to choose a new location. I'm sorry. But it all is, like, tacky and not good to me.
It's just, it's so weird. But then, like, word on the street is she's applied for the marriage license.
Okay. This way. Let her get married. Let the marriage license be signed. Is the marriage license going to go missing? We've seen this happen on shows before. You know, I'm with Karen on this. Like, I won't believe that she's married until she's married. Yeah, just as an aside, there was a wedding on like Family Karma, Bravo adjacent, and they have still not signed the marriage license. Like, they're still not legally married. So I need all the ducks to be in a row, Patrizio.
Okay, that's fair. Another part of the Karen Shasha feud is Charisse brought up this bit of tea that we hadn't heard before, that Karen went to Florida and was in rehab, and then her friends came to rehab and like got her out, and then they partied like in Miami. Do you think Karen's got a drinking problem?
I think every housewife has a drinking problem.
I don't actually think Karen's got a drinking problem. Maybe rehab worked. Do you think she went to rehab?
Maybe. I think we don't see, like, I think what we have seen of Karen is that I don't think she really regularly drinks, but when she does drink, like, we have Fireball night, right? And she says too much. So I think that maybe she has a heart. I don't know. I'm not going to diagnose anyone. I don't think that she's an alcoholic in the sense that she's somebody who has to drink all the time. But I think she knows that when she does drink, it's not good. So I think the fact that she's got enough self-control to know when to hold them and when to fold them in terms of drinking, I'm using too many analogies today. I'm pretty impressed by that.
I want to know that she went to like, what's it called? Like Too Much Sex Anonymous. Like, that's the rehab she was in. Like, she was like there because she was too horny.
The way Patrizio After Dark just snaps and comes through, like, any opportunity to talk about any of these women doing the do, you're just going to talk about it. She was not at Sexaholics Anonymous.
Why? But like, that's the rehab that, like, that's what I want the story to be. Like, Charisse is like, she was in rehab, and Karen has to come out and be like, yeah, for my sex addiction.
But surely, like, for her sex addiction, she could have just gone to Sexaholics Anonymous. Like, it's just like a 12-step program.
No, she went to Florida and then got freaky in the clubs.
Florida is not where you're going if you're a sexaholic. Like, that ain't it.
That's what I mean. Like, we're anyway. Going to, like,
somewhere in the Midwest, Chicago. Chicago is where you go for Sexaholics Anonymous rehab.
Okay, well, that's fine.
You're sexy when you have a sex addiction.
I feel like we'll never get the truth about Karen in rehab.
No. So my question to you is, do you always want the truth from these women? Like, how important is the truth in Housewives?
Well, when it's something like, did Karen go to rehab? Yeah, I kind of want the truth on that. Like, that to me is important. Like, is Karen sleeping with this man, Blue Eyes? Do I need the truth about that? No, not really. Like, I'm happy to go with more.
You got to go with your truth on that one. All right. So the other thing that I just want to interject here is, there is someone who is really enjoying inserting herself into feuds, and I think that is Robin. And I somehow feel that the Karen and Shasha drama has now become a Karen and Robin drama because Robin goes solo. I detest her, Patrizio. I detest Robin.
It's funny because I really think that there are starting to be two camps on Robin, and one is this, like, Robin's doing too much. She's inserting herself in all the drama and all the rest of it. And then the other camp is like, which is like the Queens of Bravo camp. Robin is...
Why are you always being, like, naming people in your camps?
Well, no, it's true because she's like, they've said it outright on there, like on the Insta. Like, Robin is moving the stories along. She's getting involved and all the rest of it. Meanwhile, we're out here standing Karen, who's done nothing in the last, like, how many episodes are we up to? 14. Like, what's Karen done? What's Karen giving? Nothing. Like, at least what's Robin's...
It sounds like you're in the Queens of Bravo camp.
I'm not in any camp. I'm presenting both sides.
I don't know. I feel the way you spoke, it's the same sort of passion that you spoke about when you said you wanted to do blackface. So that's what makes that's what makes me think that you are very much in the like Robin is moving the story along situation.
No, I look, I'm not into Robin. I think she's like, it's destructive. Like, it's not cute anymore. Yes. Like, and preview for next week. The preview for next week where she starts showing everyone blue eyes like at the beach club or wherever they are, like, it's just like, why? Like, why are we doing this?
You know what? Let her blow herself up. I'm excited for that with her fake wedding. can we talk about another feud that has it started when Candace first joined, but Candace versus Ashley, Ashley versus Candace. Will we ever have peace in the Middle East?
Well, that's, I mean, we kind of had a kumbaya moment that was kind of brokered by Wendy. We'll never have peace.
Yeah, because do you feel that Candace is correct? Well, Candace says that every time they have peace, Ashley does something to break it. And I'm pretty sure Ashley believes that Candace does something to disrupt it.
I mean, that's the thing at this point. Like, I think it's too far gone and they have to accept that they are just like the younger version of like Karen and Giselle, right? They just need to like be frenemies, but just maybe don't go as like below the belt as like what they usually like to do. But I don't think either of them can help themselves, right? Because like, why was Ashley bringing around the Sesame Street Muppet? Like,
not them.
She was doing that on purpose. Like, it was like purposefully like stirring up trouble. Like, I don't know. Yeah. But look, it's nice that they've resolved their drama the 12th time this season.
So, but do we think at the reunion they're going to blow up on each other again?
Well, it's only a matter of time.
It's only a matter of time. Okay. Are you ready for the next feud?
Oh my God. Not really.
Mia versus Wendy again.
Well, it was never really resolved, was it? And so it's reared its ugly head at this like dinner in Mexico.
It's so weird. Like, it seems that it always happens at a dinner. But the thing is, like, I always want to take Wendy's side because I think that like her reads are like on point, but then she'll just go and say something that is like, she just takes it that one step further where you're like, okay, you're just being a snobby, snooty, judgmental person. So I can't really be about you. And I just don't want to like Mia, but Mia is funny.
What did Wendy say this week?
So this week she said to Mia, because so the whole thing was they were talking about apologies. Like, I think Giselle was saying that Karen and Shasha should apologize, or one of them should apologize for getting too violent or whatever. And Candace calls out the fact that she's having whiplash. And she's having this whiplash because she's saying that Mia, you know, took Wendy out of the friendship group and apologized to everyone for her appalling behavior, but didn't apologize to Wendy.
Yeah, it's the apology to the group, not necessarily to the individual person, which is exactly what's happened in this new scenario where Karen apologized to the group, but not to Charisse for the behavior at the night before's dinner.
But then Wendy proceeds to read Mia, but she does it in the lawyerly way where she's like, you know, they keep one-upping each other. It's very so you say, this I know. I forget what the exact words are, but it's just like, you know, she wants Mia to be more specific. And the thing about Mia is you can't drag Mia down by telling her she did something that is quote unquote immoral. Like, Mia makes no apologies for who she sleeps with, what she's done in her past. Like, she owns it and she wears it with a badge of pride, as she should. Like, she's never going to be sex shamed. And that's all Wendy has on her. And that's why Wendy will always lose, I think, against her.
Yeah, but also, like, Mia's a piece of shit, so, like...
I think this week, like, we know for a fact that she really brought Jacqueline in to... She brought Jacqueline on the show to bring Jacqueline down.
Did you see...
Oh, sorry, yeah.
I was going to say, did you see that tweet this week that, like, because the people are now, like, why don't we give Mia her karma and, like, replace her with Jacqueline on the cast? And then Mia was like, yes, I support this. Go team.
Like, that is so Mia, though. This is why you can't win against her. She just doesn't care. But I think, I don't know if you've noticed, like, when every time you see a scene from this week's episode, like, after Mia and Jacqueline had their little fight, Jacqueline is just always outside of the frame. Like, she's just always on the end of the frame. She's not saying anything. Like, she's done with Mia. And that's
well, she's better. But I think that's the thing. Like, she's done, but I don't think Mia... I think Mia just thinks, like, oh, this is just yet another one of our, like, friendship fights that we have and it'll blow over and all the rest of it.
But I think Jacqueline is done.
Oh, she's definitely done.
Speaking of done, is there anything else that you want to add about Potomac? Have you thought about the questions that you want Andy to ask at the reunion?
I always, you know... Do I want the fame of being one of those questions that are being asked at the reunion?
Yes, you
I feel like, no, I don't know. You know what? It would be kind of iconic because how many questions would they get that, like, if yours gets chosen at the reunion?
Exactly, Patrizio.
I don't know. I don't have questions. I'm a voyeur. I'm not an
Yes. Yes, you are.
I like to watch.
Well, on that note, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about my favorite fan franchise currently, The Real Housewives of Miami.
Moshi, we're back from the break.
Hello.
To talk. Your favorite ladies, The Real Housewives of
Miami.
Another big week. Was it a big week though? I don't know.
I don't know if it was a big week. I think there's just so many ladies on this show and they're trying to capture them all that there's just a lot of people, but not a lot of story.
I was definitely kind of getting like filler episode. I was kind of thinking it's just sort of like, you know, like we're surely at the mid-season point as well. Like we're kind of like moving into this like second half of storylines, right?
I think so. I think, you know what it is? It's like Alexia doesn't have any tragedy at the moment. So I think, no. So like when we're looking at the primary, if we're looking at the primary characters on this show, Alexia has been... is who the camera loves. It's who the camera is constantly on. And this season, because we know that when they're doing a season, the producers come up to the women and they say what they ask them, what do you want to show this season? And so I think Alexia really is like, okay, this season, everybody, you know, the viewers really love her and Frankie, and a lot has happened, especially since she married Todd. And we remember Todd called her out for mollycoddling him, for not allowing him to kind of grow. She kind of, you know, infantilizes him. She's very overprotective. And so she's like, okay, I've listened, I've taken on the feedback, and I want to show everybody how Frankie and I have progressed. And she wants people to see, I think, Frankie as well, like more of him. So like, I thought that was interesting. And especially because I think your homegirl, Larsa Pippen, is like definitely wants to take the baton of being the bone collector. I don't know what we would describe her because she seems very next level.
Is she the villain?
No, I don't know if she's villainous enough. Like, I don't think we hate her enough to be the villain. Like, she's not ugly enough. Do you know what I mean?
Who would be the villain other than Larsa, though?
And maybe that's the problem. There's not a real, well, it's Lenny. I think that's the thing, is that Lenny is the villain.
I think the only other person that could probably have villain status would be Adriana.
Yeah, 100%. But she's not a housewife.
Yeah, she's a friend of. But, like, I mean, it's an interesting dynamic, obviously, that the friends of bring. And they're not your traditional friends of either. So, I don't know.
Yeah, and this is the thing about Miami, is that it has its own flavor, shall we say. And so it kind of gets away with not doing things the way the other franchises do. Saying that as well, I've been thinking a lot about the filler housewives. So for me, these are people who have mojitos and I just don't think know what to do with their mojito. And for me at the moment, it's Julia and Gertie. And I think what they've tried, what I'm seeing them do is kind of the same thing. Like off the back of Lenny and Lisa's crumbling marriage, they're like, okay, I'm going to focus on my marriage and how I don't want my marriage to like end. And I was like, it doesn't work when we have two similar storylines and ones where there's like, there's really no drama in either of those relationships, right? Especially to the level of Lenny and Lisa. So it got me thinking about other housewives that are similar to Julia and Gertie who got it right. So I was thinking that Gertie needs to perhaps watch Lisa Vanderpump because it's a similar kind of vibe. Lisa is a restaurateur. She's an entrepreneur and she's in a really, like, she's older, obviously, but she's in a really successful marriage and her whole thing. And she still found a way to like bring the drama by using her personality. But then she was able to have a spinoff with Vanderpump Rules. And I'm like, Gertie is not playing her cards right. Like, if she knew what to do, she could have a spin-off that is Gertie Designs and it like shows the drama of all of that. So I was like, Gertie, watch LVP, learn a little. That's just something I was thinking about this week.
What about Julia?
What about Julia? Like, what do you do there? I think Camille Grammer is like, you know, the wife of, I guess the difference is like Martina isn't going to divorce her, but I think we've had enough. Like, oh, I think who else has had like the empty nest syndrome and has been a good housewife?
Ramona.
Jesus Christ. Okay, that's where we're going to go. But Julie doesn't have she just got her farm.
I think like Julia, I hate saying, the problem with Julia is, and if we're going with my theme tonight.
Hang on. Which one of your themes? Because we need to really be careful here. Is this Patty After Dark? Is it Patty the Racist? Like, which one of your themes is it?
The homophobe.
Okay, thank you.
I feel like we can't fire the first, like, lesbian housewife like after two seasons. Like, she's going to have at least a third. Like, because although she's not bringing a lot as she is starting on the fake storylines, I feel like she's not as much on life support as what Gertie is. Like, to me, Gertie is 100% on life support, yeah. And you watch and you can tell that she is. Whereas Julia, like, you know what? I'm kind of intrigued as to whether this adoption storyline is actually real or not. Like, because you know what it was? Like, I was like fully like, oh, fake storyline for sure. Until she was like, the other night, Martina came up to me and was like, let's do it. And then I was like, ooh, like that was like a plot twist I did not expect. Like, is Martina actually on board with adoption?
So the adoption is fine, but for me, it's not something I want to see from her on Housewives, if that makes any sense. Like, I just think it's interesting. I think what would be interesting now that I'm thinking about it, I think part of the reason why Julia isn't popping is because she's so aligned with Adriana. Now, Adriana might be a friend of, but she brings it. And she's also an OG for Miami. I think Julia needs to like, she should have aligned herself more with like Nicole, like spending more time, and she's just not friends with them. And so it's just not working.
So to make a reality adjacent comparison here, it's like when you're on Drag Race and you're a quieter character, but then you pick one of the loud characters to be on your team for one of the challenges, and then you get overshown, like, by...
And it's the week that you say it's your week.
Yeah.
And then it's not your week.
Julia, unfortunately, has picked Adriana again this season, because I feel like the first season they were, like, friends. She could have really ditched Adriana this season and, like, and found a new friend. And she did it, and now she's, like, being overshadowed by Adriana. Because, yeah, Adriana's about to get into the mess. I can just feel it. I know it's...
But Adriana doesn't even need to get into the mess. Like, any scene that she's in, she brings it. Look, I thought it was sweet that Julia did this, like, romantic thing with Martina, tried to recreate their first dinner in Paris. I think Julia is really, really interesting. She's really, really quirky. But I think, like, I need to see her trying to host charity events. Like, I need to see her out in society. And unfortunately, she's not giving that angle, because that's where, like, so that's what made Sonia. You know what I mean? Her neurosis around the townhouse. I need more neurosis around the farm. Okay, the dog bit her. I need to see her on the Percocets. Like, where is the camera? Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much opportunity, and we're just not digging deep enough. So for me, it's like, I actually think they need to go and do their homework and then come back.
Okay. I feel like we don't want housewives usually to do homework, but now we want
these. These two, they actually really need to, because them showing up as themselves, unfortunately, it's just not enough. Especially when you have, let's just, you know, as friend of, who is in, like, a fraction of the scenes like Adriana, but her just lying on a table and getting her butt filled, literally, that's what it was, her non-surgical Brazilian butt lift. Like, that was so fascinating. It was so insane. It was so unhinged.
I just want to say to the listeners that earlier this week you refused to be the Julia to my Adriana when I go in for the non-surgical BBL.
And that's because... For many reasons, I will never be a Julia. Once again, insulting me. So maybe this is the theme that has actually been the whole week, is you insulting me, and I didn't pick up on it soon enough. Number two, I don't want to see your butt. Like, it's really that simple. I'm not interested in it, Patrizio. Stop trying to make me see it.
We can put a surgical curtain up. You see my front half.
You get with your little, like your little squeaks every time a needle jabs you. I don't need to know that about you.
I thought we were friends, like Julia and Adriana, but I'll have to reconsider that. And you should reconsider it too after the violence I've been spewing tonight.
Patrizio, I mean, I will be ripping our friendship bracelets in half, okay? I will no longer be braiding your hair, let's just say. Listeners, it's okay, we're fine. We're still friends.
is this divorce between the two of us going to be as explosive as the one between Lenny and Lisa?
Maybe. No, never.
I mean, I would want to divorce you and then text you on the side and be like, hey, can you do a podcast episode with me?
No, 100%. That is you on the phone telling me to fuck off and then telling me to do the podcast. Like, no, and then just messaging me like nothing ever happened and be like, so what time are we recording the podcast? I mean, this is why I'm so glad that I am retaining the 51% ownership of this podcast.
Oh, now we said it.
We say it in every episode. Lenny and Lisa, talk to me about them.
Yeah, so what? Like, this week it's all about the Page Six article, right? That Lenny's come out being like, we have been separated for like months now. The divorce is happening. Lisa knows it, I know it, everyone knows it, and all the rest of it, right? Like, who? Like, what do we believe
last week? So last week when you added yourself as being, once again, another reason that
Team Lenny.
Is it his Team Lenny? But last week you said this. You said that Lisa knew what the gag was, but that something has happened that it wasn't in her plans. Like, I think she obviously thought she was the puppeteer And Lenny's like actually gone, he's like an outlier now and he's not abiding by the rules that she had put down. And I mean, my other thing, Patrizio, what do I always tell you about page six?
It's facts.
It's facts. Like it's gossip, but it's factual gossip. Page six isn't being sued.
No. That's what the storyline should be. It should be like, well, if this was not true, Lisa should be suing for defamation, but like she's not, therefore.
I think there's a couple of things. I think that their relationship is awkward. And I think we spoke about it last season. Their relationship is not a healthy one. It's never been a healthy one. This divorce is probably the best thing that could happen to Lisa. She just doesn't realize it yet. And I think Marisol does a really great job of kind of just letting her know, like, sis, you're going to be fine at the end of all of this. But I want to know, of the housewives, who do you think believes Lisa and who do you think believes Lenny? Or I should just say, who do you think believes Lenny?
Alexia.
I agree.
Adriana. Who else? Adriana.
100%, because they know Lisa.
Well, you know what I'm kind of sick of? I'm kind of sick of seeing that flashback to the lingerie party in 2012. Like, I get it. They had lingerie party one time on it, like season two or whatever.
They weren't filming for ages, so there's no other footage of the other lingerie parties.
I know, but like, it's just sort of like, if I have to watch that cut like one more time.
Lenny's mum definitely is on Team Lenny now.
Well, okay, so that's the interesting thing. Like, we haven't really spoken about Marina. She has filmed, like, the scene with, like, Lisa, right? And, like, she's horrified at her son's behavior and all of this. But Lisa also appeared on, like, Watch What Happens Live, I think, earlier when during this season's airing, and said that, like, she's no longer on speaking terms with Marina, which, you know, to me checks out, right? Because normally, especially with like Eastern European mums, like their sons can literally do like the worst thing in the world and they will be on their side 100% till they die. My son, he's not like that. He's an angel. I raised a beautiful boy, like all of that.
I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think that is... I think it's definitely a cultural thing. So across multiple cultures, and obviously in this instance, particularly with Lenny, and he's also her meal ticket, like he's everything right for them. But I think that is like a societal thing. Like boys generally get away with murder from their parents, you know, from their mums anyway.
And I think the other part in all of this, like, is that Lenny knows that Lisa is obviously creating a narrative on the show because they're actively filming. I think he found out, obviously, that his mum has filmed with Lisa as well, which would have been, like, the ultimate betrayal in his eyes, right? Yeah. And that's why I think these stories are starting to come out, why the new girlfriend is also releasing statements to the press about it and all the rest of it too, right? Because I think Lenny is encouraging it because he's angry and shitty with, like, Lisa for using the show as a way to, like, you know, put his name through the mud, which, you know, I mean, she's just telling us what he's doing and, like, we all can draw our own opinions from that. But, yeah, I just, like, there's a lot going on here and I don't know, like...
I think the women, the OG women, all believe that there is truth in what Lenny is saying.
And I think as well, like, they are also just, like, they've been in Miami long enough to have seen this happen. Like, this is not a unique story. Lisa is not the first. She's not the last. There are many young, pretty girls that show up in Miami, end up with these, like, rich older men who trade them in for a new model. And, you know, like, I think Marisol said it, right? Like, it's just sort of like everyone turns a blind eye to it until someone asks for a divorce.
100%. But I think the thing that I'm enjoying watching is watching the women's reactions to the stuff that's happening in Lisa's marriage and trying to watch it from their perspective as they try to deduce what is real and what is embellished. Because I don't think it's bullshit. I just think it's a different stretching of the truth.
Can I just say, obviously this, like, they're all talking about it at this event that Alexia is, like, sponsoring, which is part of, like, Frankie's charity, like, that they are using. The fashions. Mm. Like, just, I feel like the Miami women are not getting enough, like, kudos right now for the fashions.
But, and I think the reason why they're not getting the kudos, Patricia, is because we expect it. Like, we would only talk about it if they weren't bringing it. That's the difference. And they're all bringing it. Do you know what I mean? It's not like on Beverly Hills where some bring it and some don't, or on Atlanta where some bring it and some don't, or on Potomac where none of them do. You know what I mean?
But I think the conversation needs to be had in the, like, the housewives town square, that the Miami women are eating up Beverly Hills.
They're eating up everyone. Do people think the other way around? Surely
not. No, but I feel like it's not being said. I feel like we're not acknowledging it, and it needs to be acknowledged.
Okay, let's acknowledge it now then, Patrizio.
A moment of silence. No, not a moment of silence.
A moment of applause. Clap if you care about the fashions. I was raised by Wendy Williams. Can you tell? Okay. Well, jumping from fashions and heading back into rumors, last week you spoke about your shining light, your guiding star, your fave, Miss Larsa Pippen. And this week, Nicole and Larsa, a new feud is brewing.
It's landed.
And our to be continued this time is Larsa ending on a rumor that she has heard about Nicole. I'm kind of over Larsa and her rumors. I know some of them have checked out, but I don't believe that this one is true. I do believe that she just makes things up. Do you believe this is true of your star, or do you believe that she has really heard that Nicole slept with every doctor at the hospital?
I mean, as you just said, track record would show that she is usually more often than not correct. I am going to say it's true. Like, why not? And why not? You know, like, why can't Nicole sleep with every doctor in the hospital? If she was after her first divorce and she was just wanted to bang it out, like, good for her.
But I just don't think it's true, because I think that Larsa is saying it to allude to the fact that that's how Nicole got her job. Like, I think there is some sort of class. I think what Nicole is trying to get to with Larsa is, like, what is her issues with, like, class? Because, like, Larsa is quite classist. She loves to talk about how Nicole's former husband, ex-husband, is a teacher, as if he's, like, just a teacher, like it's not a noble job. Like, it's not because it's obviously not, like, a significantly high-paying job. Or it's perhaps in Larsa's eyes not very masculine even, right? And she's trying to make some sort of distinction that, like, Nicole got from that to wherever she is now by sleeping her way there. And that is the thing that seems to be rubbing Nicole the wrong way. I also think, like, Larsa has a bone to pick with Nicole, which I think she talks about from, like, the previous season. I don't even remember what Nicole said to her. Oh, Nicole said that she needed to get to know Larsa before she invited her to her house.
Okay, so I'm going to say two things on this.
Only two?
Yes, only two. Larsa is the activating agent, right? She knows these women's, like, triggers, and that's what she does. Because I don't think it's so much that Larsa is, like, is looking at the class side of things. I think it's that, like, obviously Nicole is very happy with her life at the moment, right? Her husband is a lawyer. They live in this, like, multi-million dollar home. Like, they are blessed, right? And I think, like, she sees that as more successful than her previous marriage. And that's fine, right? That's for her to, like, work through. And I think Lars is just, like, happy to bring it up because, like, Nicole doesn't want to talk about it, right? And I think that's what Lars does with everything. She's, like, talks about the things that these women want to, like, keep tucked away and not talk about. Like, you know, that Lisa has money problems and Julia's out kissing men and Nicole, like, had this ex-husband. But then I think the other thing as well is that, like, Larsa definitely does, like, hold a grudge.
Yeah.
Because that, so what happened was, it wasn't so much that, like, Nicole was like, I need to get to know you. It was that Nicole, like, started doing, like, you know, like, an investigation into who Larsa was, then was, like, exploring her OnlyFans and then was making comments about the OnlyFans. And Larsa was like, who are you to judge me, right? Like, who are you to judge me when you have, like what is OnlyFans in this world when you have slept with every doctor in your workplace? Like, it's sort of like, you know, like, it's the same. That's what Larsa's trying to say. And I think she's also trying to say, but that's a lot worse, right? Like, what are a couple of feet pics compared to, like, sleeping with all your colleagues? You know, I think it's Larsa's just got a grudge and she's not going to forget it. And she goes into, like, nuclear war. And, like, you know what? I am fine with this. I'm actually really on board.
I think we had a lot of hope for Nicole. I think you were talking about it last week that you had a lot of hope for Nicole. And I feel like with this fight, she has bitten off a lot more than she can chew. And I do feel that she's going to lose.
It's like, for example, and I think this was in a mid-season trailer, like, there's this snippet of Nicole talking to Alexia how, like, it's so hard for, like, pretty Latina girls not to be, like, typecast. And Alexia's kind of got this face of, like... Yeah, right. Because it is this thing, like, I'm sorry that you were so pretty that life is hard for you. Like, and it's just not the energy that, like, I wanted Nicole to have.
No, but I think the other side of it with Nicole is because Nicole is a doctor, I hate to say it, they, like, you know, like, in most classes, like, in class, like, Nicole being the doctor should be, like, people to expect Nicole is the one looking down on them. But in Miami, things are very different. And I think the women look down on Nicole because she has a profession, like, and not a creative profession, like, because she is a doctor. They're like, you should be ashamed. I love that.
Well, I also think that, like, none of these women have worked a day in their lives as hard as what Nicole has to work at the hospital.
I was thinking about how Adriana gets her money being an art dealer. And being an art dealer is hard. Like, sales, it's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. But, like, I don't know, she's doing pretty well for herself. So she obviously knows what to do. Yeah. Like,
obviously not saving lives, but still.
Is she saving lives? I mean, she's just, like, putting people to sleep before their
surgery. Her life is literally in your hands. One wrong move, one extra little droplet, and you are dead, honey. You are not waking up. That is why they get paid the big bucks to do 3 hours of work. It is a specialization, like, Patrizio.
Everything's a specialization these days. Everyone wins a trophy. No. Everyone gets a mojito.
Okay, you sound like a boomer.
The shoe fits.
So I have one last Miami question for you, and it's a big one, pun intended. Has Larsa had surgery to enhance her bottom?
Like, why is this even a question?
Tizio, answer the question. It is a yes or no.
Moshi, you can see it.
She denies it, and it is not, her butt does not match her body.
You can see it from the planet Moon. It's not natural.
The planet Moon is such an iconic line.
It is like, you know, right up there, the Great Wall of China, Lhasa's Ass, things you can see from space. Like, of course it's fake because you know what it is? She's got these like tiny thighs and this huge ass and it doesn't like work together.
And you can see the way her waist is cinched as well, like the way it goes through. It's like not the natural, like as somebody who is curvaceous, has a natural big ass, like things are not adding up.
No, and like I just don't understand. Like, I mean, look, the Kardashians have also denied BBLs for years. Like,
but the thing about Lhasa is she is so open and honest about everything else. Why do you think she denies having surgery on her butt?
Maybe they all signed an NDA, like her, the Kardashians, like everyone's gone in being like, we got this done and we can never reveal, because then all of them have to reveal it. Like, I don't know. Like, it's some sort of like, because like, it's the same, like I said, it's the same as Kim. It's like, dude, like, we know you had the BBL. Like, we know that it's not real. Like, I mean, apparently she's even had ribs taken out at this point, which I wouldn't be surprised if Lars is going to do as well. But like, I don't know. Like, I honestly, I don't know what, like, why not, why everything else and not your ass? It doesn't make sense. Like, there's got to be something there. Yeah,
I think you've just made me think that they must be protecting someone. I think whatever they had done is an illegal procedure and they can't talk about it. I definitely think NDAs are involved. You've got me thinking about NDAs.
Because, like, what else could it be? Like, why would you not say that your butt's enhanced? Like, I don't know. Look, like, Lhasa, to be honest, I actually don't think her face has changed that much.
I don't think it has either. I was having a look the other day and I was like, actually, from this angle, it still looks the same. It just looks more fillered.
Yeah, she's had fillers, definitely. And I think, obviously, like, as you age as well, your face does naturally sort of, like, change. I think, you know, there's a lot to be said about just, like, how fashion has changed, makeup, contouring, eyebrows. Eyebrows make such a difference.
Oh, eyebrows, like, yeah. She's definitely changed. But she did get a nose job, right? Like, her nose is completely different.
Yeah, she's had a nose job. But, like, yeah, I think that people are really, like, harsh on Lhasa, because you do look at old photos of her and there are some confessionals that she does have in this season where I'm like, that kind of looks like the old Lhasa.
It's the same. I think I had a look this week really at her face and I was like, it's the same. She is just, do you know what it is? Like, I'll be really honest. I feel like before she was just like so skinny, like unhealthily skinny. And I think she's actually like put on a bit of extra weight, like in the right way. That sounds horrible. I'm like definitely fat shaming someone there. But like, I just think that she looks really healthy now.
And you know what it is, Moshi? People, they see a hot, sexy Middle Eastern woman and they think that, you know, her life is hard for Lhasa Pippen, all right?
Is this how you feel? Is life hard for you?
Yes, as a sexy Middle Eastern woman.
I believe.
Can we also just, like, I know this is, like, you know, an aside. Lhasa Pippen dating Michael Jordan's son.
And they've been together for a while now. Like, they're still dating. I love it for her. I think it actually makes perfect sense, because it's like almost like a revenge for the people, like the fact that, like, you know, he had to deal with Michael Jordan as his dad. And if you haven't watched that documentary, you should, because Michael Jordan, not the greatest man to be in. And she's had to be in like Scottie Pippen's shadow and had to do all this crap for him. So I think like they have so much in common. I think they have a lot of similar experiences. And he's hot.
Now that I've heard all of that, I'm like, ooh, trauma bond. But
100%. I think that's exactly it. I think there is an NBA trauma bond there.
I don't know. I'm not into it. I'm personally not a fan.
Why?
I just really wanted to see Lhasa with, like, the, like, truck driver or the like corrections officer. Like, why? Just like humor me, Larsa, please. Like, but no, just like you, Michael Jordan's son.
The one thing you're never going to get from Larsa Pippen is comedy. Okay. She's not never going to humor you.
Or like, I don't know, any other NBA star. Like, I don't know, who was Michael Jordan's biggest, like, enemy? Like, I don't know, date someone else. Like, it's just Michael Jordan's son. I don't know. I'm not into it. I don't know what's...
Sorry, I really want you to try and name another basketball player and, like...
Tristan Thompson.
Jesus, and on that note, we've come to the end of another episode.
Bugs Bunny.
Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for listening. Please remember to follow, subscribe, rate, and like wherever you listen to podcasts. Yeah.
Moshi, next week we've got the reunion of Salt Lake City. We have Miami. We've got Potomac. It's a full week.
It's a full week. And follow us over at From the Lower Level Pod.
See you next week.
Bye.